Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God is so good. He keeps showing us good things and revelations. And Father, we thank you so much for opening our eyes. And we praise you for your wonderful plans for your people. And thank you for protecting your people in the really horrendous days that are coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, got some revelation to share with you. This first revelation is, we called it, Man-Child Escapes and is Anointed Before War. And Missy Pollock had this dream on January the 18th of 2018. She said, I was standing in a cramped crowd of people in front of a building. I asked the Lord, what is this building? And got by faith at random Isaiah 26 and 12. The Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou hast also wrought all our works for us. When our works, of course, are wrought by the King, we are in the kingdom of God, where he rules, because that's how he does it. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That will come in handy in a few minutes here. She said, we had to put coins in a small change slot by a door. I had a penny in my hand waiting for my turn. The people close to me that I remember was a Korean woman wearing a black coat, as well as her three young sons. They were all wearing black coats. She has a note, these three are in darkness and didn't bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold of Jesus. This woman represents the harlot apostate leadership, the strange and foreign woman who has the works of darkness that leads astray the young and immature Christians. She does not enter into the kingdom by the door. Jesus, who is the door, and keeps others from entering in by giving them a different gospel, another Jesus, and a different spirit. This is true. And she went on to say, this woman was holding her baby boy, and he had light-colored clothes on, contrary to the rest of them. And Missy said, he's not in darkness like the others. And my thought is that a man-child who passed through the system, the harlot system, but was not defiled by it. Thank you, Lord. I saw that this woman's baby was slipping out of her arms. As you might imagine, and the man-child escapes the grasp of the harlot system. So I took the baby to help her before she lost total grip on him. Yeah, that's true, because the man-child belongs to the bride body, not to the harlot. And she said the woman didn't even seem to know I did this or acknowledged that I did this. And that's because the man-child walks away from the system unmissed. They don't really, you know, they cause pain, they cause trouble, and they're glad to get rid of them. You know. I then had a quarter in my hand as well as the penny, and I put them in the coin slot. And she has a note here, 25 plus 1 equals 26. Which is a number that symbolizes the gospel. And she said, we enter in by paying the price of denying self. Enter into what? Well, I believe it's the kingdom that's being spoken about here. And this is true. We have to lose our life to gain our life. And the true gospel sets free from the false self-justifying doctrines of the apostate harlot. Then I went through the door and put the baby under my red coat to keep him warm. And she notes that this is covered in the blood of Jesus. And let me say that Jesus called his sheep out of the apostate harlot in order to enter into the kingdom by following him. John 10:1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Yes, they promote themselves over God's people. They start leading them astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies, right? And then continuing on with that text, verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. In other words, he leaves all the rest of them in there. He leads his own sheep out. And that's what this parable is all about, is the man-child escaping that system. And then I looked for the mother and her sons, in other words, inside the building that we're calling the kingdom. And I thought I would find them right inside the door, waiting for me so I could give back her baby. Wasn't God's plan, was it? I didn't see them. Well, no, you wouldn't, because they didn't enter in by the door of Jesus, the Word, she says, right? Amen. So interesting. I looked around the surrounding area, in other words, looking inside the building for this woman who didn't come through the door, right? Across the way in a lobby type area, in other words, not in the same area, I saw on the wall lined up across the top of the wall small flags of different countries all over the world. Well, I think this represents the kingdom. You know, this scenario is playing out in God's worldwide church, who is among all nations, right? And is coming out of all nations, by the way. Underneath the flags was a large map of the world. There you go. I didn't see them in that area either, because they're not of the church, meaning the called out ones. That is the people who do not come out. That is the harlot system. And yet they call themselves the church, which is false. They're called out ones of the church. Just as it was in Jesus' day, there were denominations of Judaism, but he called his people out of those denominations of Judaism, and so is he doing it today. The denominations of Christianity. And the apostate harlot is what we come out of to enter the true kingdom of God. It's okay for a playpen, but you soon have to outgrow it. If you want truth, you will outgrow it very quickly and go on. I then went into a glass enclosed waiting room where I knew people were waiting to have paperwork processed. They weren't there either. Well, that doesn't surprise us, does it? I asked, what is the waiting room? She asked the Lord that and got Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathering together with the church and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So the applicants are tested by teaching the word to see if they qualify to enter the kingdom fully through obedience. How can you be in the kingdom of God where he rules if you do not obey him? The kingdom is where God rules by his word. In other words, people obey him. Therefore, they're in the kingdom, right? That's pretty simple, isn't it? And that's what happens with these people. They have to be taught how to live in the kingdom of God through obedience to his word. And in fact, they're teaching just the opposite. You don't have to obey his word. I then saw an Oriental woman at a desk in another area. In other words, she was not with those being qualified. She is there to bring into captivity those who start out obeying the king, as in 2 Peter 2 and 20. Or if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. Okay, so that's why there are people ready to snatch people who don't love the truth enough to stick with it. They snatch them out and they bring them to one of their harlot churches. And behind her was a corridor where I knew people were going through to take a tour. Yep, but it's not a good tour. It's a tour of the apostate religions of Christianity where they obey men rather than God. And I asked the woman at the desk if there was someone that worked there that the baby boy belonged to. She picked up a phone and made a call. As she was doing this, I took notice that this baby was a very happy baby. And in a note, she said, it's unusual for a baby separated from its mother to be happy. Yes, but not this baby. And not this mother, right? So, I mean, when you come out of there and you're sprung, you are so happy to find truth and go with the Lord, follow the Lord. And that's where a lot of people are going to be in the future. Well, after she got off the phone, she told me that the baby didn't belong to anyone that worked there. I guess we could figure that out, right? The man-child does not belong to the harlot system. The foreigner who deceives, right? And Missy said, I asked for a word by faith at random for the dream. And this is the dream in which the man-child is born, right? And in general, underlined where my finger came down. She got Zechariah 6 and 2, and her finger came down on, in the first chariot were red horses. And in the second chariot, black horses. But her underlining was in the first chariot were red horses. Now that's very significant that this came to us at this time. And I'm going to share with you why. Notice, when the first seal of the tribulation is opened, the man-child body in whom the Lord lives by His Spirit and Word is anointed to go forth. Then the second seal is of the red horse of World War III. And it's coming, right? The second seal, right after the man-child is sealed, this is the first judgment after that. And then the third seal was the black horse of famine that followed that. So let me read it to you. Revelation 6 and 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. This is the first seal of the tribulation period. And right at the beginning, he opens this. And I heard one of the four living creatures say, with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. Well, if just take and think about this a little bit, you'll remember how that Moses, the man-child, was conquering Egypt by the spoken judgments of God before going into what? The wilderness. He started conquering Egypt, right? And there was a Passover. We're coming to that, okay? Conquering and to conquer. Verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. So there's the red horse, as the verse that she got. A red horse. And to him that sat thereon, it was given to take peace from the earth. That's war. And and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Oh yes, it's going to be a nuclear war here. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come, and I saw, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat thereon had a balance in his hand. And I heard as it were a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, A measure of wheat for a shilling, three measures of barley for a shilling, and the oil and the wine hurt thou not. So there's the famine, the fall of the economy, that kind of stuff. Okay, isn't this interesting that at this particular time, we're seeing all kinds of war noises out there? Okay. So, World War III, I believe, is quickly being prepared by the U.S. and Russia. But as we have seen already in this revelation, it will happen after the man-child ministry is anointed. I don't know what this little skirmish is going to end up being. Probably nothing, because we're binding this big war, this world war, at least until it's supposed to happen as the second seal. And we've been binding it, you know, since the deep state first began to try to bring this war, cause this war. We've been binding it and casting it down. So far, by the grace of God, we've been successful. So, as we've seen, the first seal is the man-child, anointed to go forth. And if you don't know if this is the man-child, let me point out to you that the man-child is just like Moses. His job is to bring the people of God out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Okay? And this, all of these writers, by the way, are corporate bodies of people, large bodies of people that God uses to bring different judgments. And everybody says, well, the first writer is the Lord, and some say it's the Antichrist. And well, both of those are wrong in a way. It is the Lord, but it is the Lord coming in his first fruits to bring judgment, much like Moses came as his first fruits to bring judgment. So, we see that World War III is quickly being prepared. In case you don't know it, the deep state is using their false flag attack in Syria to attempt to start World War III to distract from their crimes. Let's pray it down for now so that it will come after the anointing of the man-child, which is very close, I believe, very close. And here are two of many articles on the net about this emergency preparation for war when the U.S. refused to negotiate at the UN with Russia. A couple of articles here. I don't have time to go into them, so I'll just let you read them when you get the text. And also, Bill Steenland just now had a dream about the war with Russia, in which he said, I just remembered a dream I had last night. It was short and to the point. I was hanging out with my uncle when he got very upset and, quote, left to go to work. He was pulling away as I ran to his car as he was leaving, and I asked, Wait, are we going to war with Russia? He just kept looking straight on with a stern look on his face. He said, My uncle is significant in the dream for a number of reasons. He's a CIA. And he trained spooks on the west side of the Berlin Wall during the Cold War. He's a big-time intelligence guy, CIA, Pentagon, NSA. Anyway, I never dream about him. He can only represent one thing. The parable is simple. The deep state is, quote, going to work. Yes, that's what they do. They cause wars. They've been doing this, as the Lord rebukes them in the scriptures for this. And Bill said, we bind and frustrate their plans and all of the rogue elements in Jesus' name. Yes, let's pray this down until, of course, the second seal, which is when this war must come, which I believe is very soon, very quickly, and I'll talk to you about that too. Now, remember this. A sign that we received of the soon coming of the Lord in his man-child body of first fruits was for when our book, Delivered from Dark Powers, would be available. And remember I told you that Pam said that when Father spake to me about this book being available to the people, the book was contiguous with the reigning man-child. It was as if the book was out and the man-child was on the throne. Well, note, I asked the Lord if it would mess anything up if we put this book ahead of the other books that we were working on, and got a no. In other words, it's not going to mess anything up. So we finished it first. And the book is posted as a free ebook and is published by Lulu and available on our site through them. And you can look at our site, look at UBM Books, and you'll find it. Okay, the name of the book, Delivered from Dark Powers, is important. It's mostly about demonology, but the demons are the ones that's causing the war. It's behind the deep state, and so on and so forth. Behind the religions that are, you know, trying to destroy Christianity, etc., etc., right? And the name fits really good with this time, doesn't it? Well, so I rushed the book up, okay? Well, Eve had a dream that she received that the timing of the release of the book was correct. Because it doesn't look correct because the man-child didn't show up, right? However, although we are close, seen by the emergency preparations for a world war that comes after the anointing, the man-child has not yet been anointed. Why? Well, there's a very biblical delay. And it came to me before the first Passover. And I didn't know if it was a word of knowledge or not, but it came to me and I thought about it, and then another sister mentioned it. Well, before the fast for the Passover, you remember, I had in my thoughts, and Sister Deborah in Israel also mentioned the second Passover, spoken of in Numbers 9:9-13. Second Passover. There, in that text, there is a second Passover is available for those who were still unclean at the first Passover by reason of touching a dead body. So they couldn't partake of the Passover, right? Unclean. Now, let me say, the first Passover, a while back, people, even all the way up and through the first Passover, people were still going and fasting because they realized they missed it, and so here they are missing it, going right through the Passover. Okay, and as I have taught for many years, this touching a dead body represents not being sanctified, meaning separated from the old man who the Bible says is dead in sin. You know what? You're supposed to be separated from that old man, you, the spiritual man, not being obedient to him, not walking after the flesh, right? So in other words, they walked after the flesh and they had no Passover. Some were not sanctified by the first Passover, although we were told of the Lord to fast for them so that they would enter into that fast that the Lord called, and to pray, to be ready for that Passover. People who did that fast and got alone with the Lord had many changes in their life. Many happy changes, many deliverances, many blessings. It was for the purpose of doing that, to get cleaned up and get ready for the Passover. But like I said, even through that Passover, many of them still hadn't done it yet. So since some were not ready at the first Passover, there is coming a last chance, which is only available with this particular feast. There's no other feast day that offers this second chance. Now, we know what the feast days represent, different things in the New Testament that the letter hid. It hid things. It was a parable. It was meant to hide things. But the interpretations of all these feasts have significance to us. Not keeping the letter, that's not it. It's keeping the fulfillment is it. So, again, the Passover offers a second chance like no other feast does. And as you know, Moses the man-child was given the Passover judgment, which he prophetically spoke into existence. So, in type, the man-child has to be there for the Passover. Okay? The second Passover comes 1 month after the first one. So, what's the message here? Get sanctified. Don't walk in the flesh. Submit to God. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins to God. Get right with Him. Get sanctified. Be ready for a Passover. You're going to need a Passover. Judgment is coming. Why do I say be sanctified of willful sin? Because if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin. You have no Passover. Hebrews 10:26. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment. You have no Passover. So what I'm saying is, God is saying, get ready. Repent. Get ready. Okay. She said, I also got Job 42:11. In context, 10 through 13. She's going to start in verse 10 here. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all of his brethren and all of his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintance before time. Notice a lot of people have been scared away by the persecution and crucifixion of the man-child. Okay. And did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him concerning all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Yep, crucifixion. Every man also gave him a piece of money. And we've had all of these prophecies that fit into this so beautifully, you know, that people are going to be, like Psalm 89 says, they're going to be identified who the man-child is through dreams and visions, which he tells you there, and also in other places that they're going to bring their money with them. Remember when the people of God came out of Egypt? What happened? They plundered Egypt with gold and silver. It was given to them as they were leaving to go to the Red Sea and enter the wilderness, which is the tribulation. Okay. So they came and gave him a piece of money, every one a ring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and thousands yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Well, okay, what do we see here? The man-child has certainly been a Job who was constantly attacked by slander from his brethren as a crucifixion. But just as Job was justified and rewarded by the Father, so it will be with the man-child, as we have also seen in Scripture and dreams and visions. How neat that fits, right? I asked again about this mother, and I got by faith at random Revelation 11 and 19, in context 16 through 19. And the 24 elders who sit before God on his throne fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and didst reign." Well, in the end, Father will have brought all of his elect under his dominion of the called out ones. Everybody that's is supposed to come out will have come out of the harlot system. And those who have not escaped the harlot by that time will fall under a year of wrath of God, which comes on all who have persecuted the saints, because the harlot always persecutes the saints, even though they call themselves Christians. And it's the year of the flood that followed the 7 days of Noah. You remember? God said after 7 days the flood would come, and then the flood came for a year. Okay, well, that's exactly what the relationship of the 7 years of the tribulation to the 1 year called the great and terrible day of the Lord, which comes afterwards. There's 8 days, there's not seven. Isaiah 34:8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year. Remember the 7 days? There are 7 years, aren't they? The 70th week of Daniel, right? A year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Yeah. They mistreated God's bride, and now he's going to take it out on them. Okay. So, on with verse 18 that Missy received. "And the nations were wroth, and thy wrath came, and the time of the dead to be judged," which is at the end of the 7 years. The rapture and the resurrection of the dead is at the end of the 7 years, right at the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. "And the time to give their reward to the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy them that destroy the earth." See, this is a day of wrath. You're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to have gone in the ark, right? "And there was opened the temple of God that is in heaven, and there were seen in his temple the ark of his covenant." And of course, those in whom is the presence of God who are in safety. The ark of his covenant, right? I play on words there too, by the way. "And there followed lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail," which is coming upon the wicked who mistreated God's people. Yes. First, God uses the wicked to crucify his people. Then he kills the wicked. That's the way it goes all throughout history. Okay, so she also had another revelation, which we just received, that about the apostates repenting and being restored. And she got this on the 7th of this month. And she said, "I'd like to preface this dream with a explanation of a generational curse that I broke a few days before I received this dream. My grandmother on my dad's side, from at least the time my dad was a baby, had mental illness. My two aunts also had mental illness that was passed to some of their daughters, and my one cousin, Mike. The illness was diagnosed as schizophrenia in my Aunt Gladys. I believe that is the mental illness that all of them had, There is no cure but to cast out these demonic spirits of schizophrenia, which is double-mindedness. So with the authority I have been given, I broke that generational curse and forbid it to travel any further in the generations to come. Okay, good idea. Everybody should do that. Amen. So on 4/7/18, I woke up, but fell back to sleep long enough for this dream. I dreamed that I was in the middle of Mason Road at the intersection of Highway 411. And her note is, 411 is a date when there was a record number of big earthquakes around the world. And by the way, 4/11 is the date of this broadcast right now. Isn't that interesting how God is such a good coordinator? You know, so don't get worried. It's not going to happen on a date. Okay, the date is pointing to the happening. It's the other way around. So listen. And a mason is a wall builder, right? Yeah, so there's an intersection here by Highway 11 and Mason, which is the wall builder, the man-child, right? This wall, I mean, you know who built the wall when they came out of first fruits out of Babylonish captivity was the wall builder, right? And this wall is what the unleavened word does. It brings separation or sanctification to the body from anything unclean. This road leads to David and Michael's house. The man-child's anointing is about to intersect with the big earthquakes. Yes, we've seen this in dreams and visions, and now God's showing it to us in a very cute way. And it must be getting close because we're at 4:11, which is a sign. You know what a sign is in the Bible? It's a sign of something to come. Okay? The word actually means that, something to come. So when you get the sign, if it's really, truly that kind of a sign, an uth in the Old Testament, it would be something coming very quickly. And so she said, then comes a great revival and restoration of God's people. Yeah, it's true, because This shaking is going to cause a lot of people to repent and turn to God. This is the good thing. And by the way, God knows who dies. There's nobody going to die except God knows about it, and he's never going to do anything unjust. So we just trust him. A lot of people are going to die. Okay, some of them are going to die and go to heaven because they wouldn't have made it through the rest of this thing, and some of them are going to die and go to hell because they were in the way and causing God's people a stumbling block. Okay? So, I mean, you know, God always does what's right. Okay? So, this brings us back to something we mentioned in a previous broadcast. Eve's dream of April 11th also joins the man-child to the earthquakes in that previous teaching. Okay? I'm quoting it now. Suddenly, many children dressed in army BDUs came filing past me, getting ready for something, some event. And I put the note in that at the time, the man children preparing to do battle. That means they're anointed and they're going forth to fight. As I looked up from them to my right, I saw the commander of all the troops. That's who's over the man-child army, right? And I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. Wonder why. His name was Adam. And of course, my note was the last Adam, Jesus. He's the commander of all the troops. And Eve, of course, is the bride, right? Represents the bride. Because she was the bride of the first Adam, and now we're talking about the last Adam. And I said his name as he hugged and greeted each other, as we hugged and greeted each other, and with great joy. Well, you can imagine. I mean, the The man-child is coming to meet the bride, right? The Lord is meeting the bride. We were both the same rank. Well, you think, well, that can't be true. Well, it is, because they have the same authority, because Jesus lives in the bride too. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Notice, same authority. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Same authority. Jesus is in the bride too. And after he hugged me, he asked me with excitement and great joy, are you ready for April the 11th? Well, this is great joy because the Lord is coming in his man-child to see and to lead the bride. And a sign was given on that April the 11th when this dream was first given. And it was a record for large earthquakes around the world, which we have already been shown is the time of the coming of Jesus in the man-child. And also, the largest strike-slip earthquake on record, 8.6, happened. It moved the earth 70-plus feet. And also, check out this video I got on this link, of a 4-foot hail. 4 foot of hail. I saw that in a video. It's very interesting. Wow. Never saw anything like that, that fell in Texas on the 11th. So, April the 11th does not represent a date, but the time of the coming of the Lord in Epiphania, which means a shining forth of the glory of God. It's the glory of God shining out of his saints, which can be seen in the spirit realm. And in this case, it's in the first fruits when massive earthquakes will come. So there. I saw my Aunt Gladys, which we see here as representing the apostate church of the double-minded people, walking south on 411, crossing over where it intersects with Mason Road. So that talks about a timing coming very quickly, you know, of 411. The earthquakes, the great earthquakes, and crossing Mason Road, which is the Masons, of course, are the ones who build the wall. They are the man-child. And not far behind her walking was another older lady with short gray hair. My Aunt Gladys didn't look anything like I remember her. First of all, she looked to be about 20 years younger, and she's about 82 right now. Second, her hair was reddish brown with no gray in her hair. It was a restoration. And then she gives Joel 2:25 and 26. And I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. So here at this intersection of the man-child and the earthquakes, starts a revival, because the man-child is the beginning of the revival. Okay? And she says, here lately the Lord has been bringing me across the words restore or restoration a lot. I believe the Lord is showing me that this curse has been broken off of my family. And even more than that, in this context, it's going to be broken off of God's family, right? I couldn't find a definite meaning of Gladys, but the Lord got my attention with that the word glad is in her name. God's people are going to be glad to finally hear the true unleavened word of God, which comes with the man-child ministry, right? And the shaking, of course, is going to motivate them to listen, right? I believe my Aunt Gladys represents a lot of God's people whose minds are going to be healed physically and spiritually when the revival comes and people repent. I said to Aunt Gladys, "You're healed." She said, "Yes." I asked her, "When did you get healed?" She didn't answer right away, so I looked to my right, where my mom and dad were sitting in their car on Mason Road. And I asked, "When did she get healed?" And my mom spoke up and said, "This morning." And then she writes, "Morning of the third day, Hosea 6 and 1, when what happens? The Holy Spirit is poured out, and who comes? The man child." Yeah. Hosea 6 and 1 through 3. "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn," yep, that's a tearing, "and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him." Oh, glory to God. This is about to be fulfilled. "And let us know," let us follow on to know the Lord, because they haven't known the Lord. "His going forth is as sure as the morning." Now we know it's the morning of the third day, which is where we are now. "And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth." How is the Lord coming? As the latter rain. Is he coming in the sky before the tribulation? No. He's coming as the latter rain that watereth the earth. She said, "I hugged my aunt and said, 'Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.'"
Yeah. It's good to see people get set free. Just like Jesus set them free. He was the man child, and he set them free, right?
"I believe many of our families and God's people are going to repent, and the Lord is going to restore what the enemy has stolen from them. These are the verses the Lord gave me by faith at random, and underlined is where my finger came down." And it's underlined, deliver. Deliver. That's where her finger came down, in the midst of Isaiah 52. 50 and 2. "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? And when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver?" That's where her finger was. Power to deliver. "Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and die for thirst." Well, that fits pretty good. He can deliver. I read the whole chapter and went into chapter 51, where verse 1 got my attention. "Look unto the rock whence you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you were digged." And she said, "A mason also cuts or hews stones." And so, and she has one more text here that she got. Ezekiel 36. 21 through 31. "But I had regard for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations whither they went." God's people are in captivity to their nationalities. They are not following the kingdom of God, as we saw earlier. "But he had regard for his holy name." Verse 22, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations whither you went." Yep, people called themselves Christians, and they didn't represent Christ, nor did they speak the word of Christ. They followed men, and they bowed down to the denominations, and the non-denominational denominations. "And I will sanctify my great name, which hath been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in the midst of them.
They bought a bad name on Christianity. Read the book of Acts, folks. That's Christianity. What we see out there is not Christianity. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord. You know what? When people come along that represent true Christianity, people get converted, don't they? Uh-huh. Yeah, because real Christianity is supernatural. It is powerful. It delivers from sin. See, most of God's people who say they are God's people don't know that God delivers from sin, or even that God answers prayer. They don't know that. Saith the Lord, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Ooh, when God sanctifies himself in his people in front of their eyes. In other words, they see the salvation of God manifested in his people finally. They haven't been seeing that. They haven't been getting a witness, you know. The Lord said he poured out his Holy Spirit on us so that we would be witnesses, right? Most of God's people haven't yet received the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. But guess what? We just read about that happening in Joel. That's part of that intersection. Look, when they started into the wilderness, what happened? Well, they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. That's water baptism and spirit baptism. And water baptism is a death to self. Spirit baptism is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk as he walked. Amen? So there, the nations are going to know that he's the Lord when he is sanctified in his people before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. That means they're going to stand on the promises in the promised land. Woohoo! Awesome. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you, because they've been playing around in a mud hole. Their water isn't clean. It isn't the Word of God, the washing of the water with the Word. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Something they never thought could happen, and they've been preaching against. How are you going to get cleaned up from all of your filthiness? Just be satisfied to be a sinner and be forgiven, right? That's their gospel, because they don't have any more hope in that. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. Well, that's the end of the denominations then. Going to have to turn back to true Christianity. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Pretty good. I mean, when you get these by random in faith and they fit everything perfectly, guess who done it? See, God's powerful to do all things, you know. He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So when you pray in faith for God to give you wisdom, James chapter 1 says he's going to do just that. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. See, that's the great thing about having the Spirit, is he's enabling you, he's empowering you to walk in God's statutes. And you shall keep mine ordinances, something that they didn't think was possible. And do them. And they certainly preached against that. Okay. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Well, you remember our fathers, right? You read about them in the book of Acts. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Mm-hmm. Finally, you can claim kinship to God, but if your acts don't prove it, then you're just smoke. And I will save you from all your uncleannesses. What a promise. and I will call for the grain, and I will multiply it and lay no famine upon you. He didn't say one wouldn't come upon the world, because it will. I don't know if you remember my testimony about we had no food in the house. We sat down at the table, and I prayed the prayer, Lord, we ask you, you sent us here. We ask you to provide for us and either fill our plates or fill our tummies. And he filled our tummies. I tell you what, God can fill you up anywhere you are. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, and that you may receive no more the reproach of famine among the nations. Then shall you remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Yes, I tell you, that's an impression when you see how bad you were and how merciful God was, and he saved you, right? Hallelujah. Well, Father, thank you so much for this awesome time of study today and your wonderful revelations. And Lord, keep showing us along the way, Lord. We're pretty ignorant, and we don't know much, but we're listening, and we're hoping to put this puzzle together by your grace, Lord. And also, Lord, be prepared. I ask, Lord, that you move in the hearts of the people out there to be ready to have a Passover. Eat the lamb, all of the lamb, the whole gospel, the whole word of God. Believe all of it, especially Psalm 91 if you want a Passover. Believe that. Okay. Thank you, Father, for repentance and faith in your people to deliver them from these judgments that are coming on us quickly now. Amen. Good night, saints.